Submit to Romans chapter 15. I appreciate you watching every Sunday morning, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I would appreciate hearing from you. I would appreciate that you would write to me and let me know what you think about the broadcast. If you have any questions, why, if you'll write to me pertaining to your question, I don't mean that I'll answer you right back, but I'll try to answer the questions on a broadcast that's coming up in the future. But anyway, I'd love to hear from me. If you disagree with me, that's all right. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Now, we're studying right division of the word of truth, as in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The reason we're doing this has to do with the gospel that is to be preached in this age. We know by the scripture that Jesus Christ was given 12 apostles. This is very clear in the book of John. In John chapter 17, he refers seven times to those that the Father gave him. Those apostles that the Father gave him are referred to in Matthew chapter 10. They're named in Matthew chapter 10, and they're called disciples and apostles. Jesus Christ trained those 12 disciples, those 12 apostles, during the period of time covered in Matthew through John, and he trained them, preparing them for the day that Christ was going to be rejected of Israel. He was going to die, be caught out of this world, in other words, a king going on exile, and he was training them in order that they might preach the message for that day. Now, in rightly dividing the word of truth, the gospel they were taught is not the same as the gospel that Paul was taught. They are not the same gospel. Now think about it. Jesus Christ told the 12 apostles in Mark 16, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He told them in Matthew chapter 28, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." These are emphatic, they're definite, they're unmistakable. "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, during this time here, the Apostle Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Mark 16 says, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Matthew 28, Christ said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Things that are different cannot be made the same without distorting and corrupting the scriptures. Paul was not sent to baptize. It matters not whether we understand Paul's activities in the book of Acts or not. What is the facts? Fact: Jesus Christ sent the 12 apostles to baptize. Baptism was associated with that gospel that they were to preach at that time. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and on. Fact: the 12 apostles were sent to baptize. Matthew 28, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them." Fact: the Apostle Paul was not sent to baptize. He said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Those are facts. Just like 5 and 5 is 10. 8 and 8 is 16. 2 and 2 is 4. Now it doesn't matter whether it seems like 2 and 2 is 4. It doesn't matter whether it seems like 4 and 4 is 8. If I say, what is 8 and 8? You say 16. Somebody say, well, it just don't seem like it ought to be. I don't care how it seems. 8 plus 8 is 16, whether you have been taught it or not. If we say, what is 20 plus 20? Somebody says it's 40. That's a fact. 20 times 20, 20 plus 20 rather, is 40. But suppose somebody steps up and says, well, my school never taught me like that. And it don't seem to me like it ought to be like that. Doesn't matter. Fact. 20 plus 20 is 40. Fact. The 12 were sent to baptize. Fact. Paul was not sent to baptize. He was sent to not baptize, but to preach the gospel. Those are facts. They're emphatic. And an individual that believes the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, has to know that that's true. But wait a minute. Jesus said to the 12, go first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said in Matthew 15, talking to a Gentile woman, he said it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In Matthew chapter 10, when he sent the 12 out, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Fact. In Matthew chapter 10, they were sent not to Gentiles, only to the house of Israel. Emphatic. Matthew 15, Syrophoenician woman prayed to him, come heal my daughter. He answered her not a word. The apostle said, send her away. She's crying after us. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. To whom was he sent? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Was he sent to the Gentiles in Matthew through John? No way. How do I know? Because God said that. Say, you might say, but my preacher don't preach it that way. I don't care. The Bible is all I've got to go on. Say, but you just got the wrong translation. That's the way it goes. If you don't like what the Bible said, just go to the bookstore. You can get you another translation. Somebody's always going to goof it up somewhere. I mean, people are more concerned about their denominational doctrine than they are with what the Word of God says anyhow. Isn't that true? I talk to people. I say, how about you? Are you saved? And they say, well, I'm a Baptist. And I say, well, the Bible says so-and-so. Somebody said, but our church teaches. Yeah, but the Bible says so-and-so. And said, well, I've always been taught by my church that so-and-so. Don't you realize that you're setting your denominational doctrine in opposition to God's holy word when you do that? Say, but I just don't understand what you're saying. Now, your problem's not understanding it. Your problem is believing the Word of God. We must rightly divide the Word of truth. People say, Brother Moore, the problem with you is you just don't love people. What has that got to do with anything? Isn't it true that Jesus Christ loved you? Isn't it true that Jesus Christ died for you? Yes. What difference does it matter whether I love you or not? The issue is not that I love you. The issue that I'm trying to point out to you is that God loves you, that Christ loved you. I'm trying to show you that Jesus Christ gave His Son to die for you and that He finished the work of your salvation at Calvary. And if you'll believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, based upon Paul's doctrine that God gave him, God will save you. Why, the Bible said love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Your preacher doesn't love you if he doesn't rightly divide the word of truth. Let me repeat that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. No preacher loves you. There is no preacher that loves your soul and is concerned for you, that bows up in the back, swells up in his little old chicken breast, and rebels at teaching the word of God rightly divided. He doesn't love you. He loves himself. He loves his denomination. And he doesn't love the Lord. All that business about, we love you and God loves you and we love God. No, no, no. The preacher that loves the Lord and loves you loves his word rightly divided, and they will preach the word of God to you rightly divided. That individual that refuses to preach the word of God rightly divided is either ignorant or else he's got an immoral motive involved. He wants to take you. He wants to get you under his thumb. He wants to throw out the net for you and entrap you. I don't want you. I don't have anything for you to join. I'm not asking you for your money. Hey, folks. I wouldn't know what to do with you if I had you. I just want you to know Christ as your Savior. Why? Because God Almighty sent me to preach unto you. God Almighty sent me to preach the Word of God. God Almighty sent me to preach the Word of God rightly divided. And the issue is not whether I love you or not. The issue is that God Almighty loved you and proved His love for you by giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you at Calvary. And when Jesus Christ died for you at Calvary, He died for all your sins. There are no sins involved that Christ did not die for at Calvary. The Bible says in Second Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And He says that He gave unto us the word of reconciliation. I'm to preach unto you the reconciliation that God made for you at Calvary. What does that mean anyhow? That means that the world out here was at enmity with God. The world was ungodly. The world was hating Almighty God. God Almighty was the enemy of the world as far as the world was concerned. They were opposites to one another, but through the death of Christ at Calvary, God Almighty fixed it so that He can be a friend to you. God Almighty proved His friendship for you and gave His Son to die for you, and God will save you right now. Say, well, I don't believe that God could save me unless some things in my life changed. Well, then change them. If there is no other way, then change them. But that's not the issue. The issue is that Christ did everything that needs to be done for God to save you. He became sin for you at Calvary. He was judged and found guilty for you at Calvary. He was condemned by God Almighty at Calvary. God turned His back on His Son. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook His Son because of you. He died for you. What does it mean to die for you? He died in your stead. The wages of sin is death. Christ died in your stead. He was buried and God raised Him from the dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We're talking about the Bible rightly divided. Facts. Christ was not sent to the Gentiles back here. He sent the apostles and He said, go to all nations, but go first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But they didn't do that. Instead, in Acts chapter 9, He saved another apostle. Called him out by His grace, preached the gospel unto him, and sent him forth to the Gentiles. the Great Commission won't be carried out until Christ comes again. So in this age, Paul is our apostle. He said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, I'm the minister of Jesus Christ of the Gentiles. He said in 2 Timothy, I'm the teacher of the Gentiles. Why do you hate Paul? Why do you turn your back on Paul? Paul is the one that brought the good news to you that salvation is free. But you that are listening to me right now, that believe in baptismal regeneration, baptismal salvation, you don't love the Apostle Paul. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Well, Paul followed Christ. For you to follow Christ, you have to follow the Apostle Paul. You can't follow Christ based upon his ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look in Romans 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8 says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. What? Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. In other words, then, in the Old Testament scripture back there, God Almighty made promises unto the fathers. He made promises unto Israel. Israel is the fathers. And Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's Israel. That's the Jews. Jesus Christ's ministry was to them. He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That is clear, it's precise, it is factual, and if you believe the verse, then you know that during the period of time covered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ didn't go to Gentiles. And the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the doctrine to Gentiles in this age of grace. You know that if you believe the verse. Let's compare a passage now. Hold on to Romans 15, verse 8, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and on it goes. Come to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, then Jesus Christ died for the Gentiles. The Gentiles were identified in his death. They were identified in his burial. The Gentiles that are saved today were quickened together with Christ at Calvary, and on, they were raised up together with Christ, made to sit together. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Hold on there. Go back to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Go back to Ephesians 2 again. In Ephesians 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Okay, then, these people in here, we that are in here, all the people that are in here, would have been called Gentiles in the flesh. We would have been called the uncircumcision in that day back there. Is that not true? And Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Well, then Jesus Christ was not a minister unto the Gentiles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no matter how you twist it. Let's do it again. in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 again. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time, the time past of verse 11, that at that time you were without Christ. Why were you Gentiles without Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Because Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. You were without Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And listen to me, if the doctrine you believe today, if the salvation that you claim today is that taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are still without Christ. The salvation to the Gentiles is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The salvation to the Gentiles is through the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. But let's not give up yet. Let's try it again. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time past, you were without Christ. When? When you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Go back to chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Those who were the circumcision in the flesh made by hands called the Gentiles the uncircumcision. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, not a minister of the uncircumcision. That is definitely clear to the Bible believer. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Go back to Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What was Jesus Christ doing back here as a minister to the circumcision? He was confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Who are the fathers? They're Israelites. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, they're the fathers. Jesus was the minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. When? Matthew through John. He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. He said, you are not to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. The children, Israel, the circumcised, the dogs, Gentiles, the bread, the gospel of the kingdom. You're not to take it and cast it to dogs. Those are emphatic. They are factual, beloved. Let's try again. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Go to Ephesians 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time passed, when you were called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens. You were allied to Israel. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Jesus Christ was confirming the promises made unto the fathers in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know that by the Bible. You that are in this dispensation of grace in here, you were not allied with Israel at that time. You were aliens. You were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh. And Christ came not unto you at that time. And Christ was confirming the promises made unto those people, the Israelites, at that time. And the Bible said you were not in the covenants of promise. Well, then I'll find the confirmation of the covenants of promise in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, won't I? Isn't that reasonable? The teaching of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the confirmation of the covenants of promises made to Israel. But we, as Gentiles, were not in those covenants of promise. Well, then, if we were not in those covenants of promise, in the name of all that's honest, in the name of all that's decent, how can you, as a preacher, take the promises out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's to Israel, and you know they are if you believe the Bible, and transfer them over here and apply them to Gentiles in this age. And then sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. No, you don't. If you love Christ, if you love the Lord, if you loved the lost souls, then you would rightly divide the word of truth. You would do what God told you to do. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You wouldn't try to use people to get money to yourself. I see some preacher on television lay all them letters out on the floor and gets down on his hands and his knees there, and he goes on and on and on, and people believe in all that stuff. What is so amazing is that I take the Word of God, I preach the Word of God, I rightly divide the Word of God, I prove the verses by comparing one with another, and there's somebody listening to me that in spite of all that will be taken to the cleaners by some con artist. You're welcome. Help yourself. But you cannot be saved in 1989 by the gospel that was to Israel at that time. No, no, no. Paul was given the gospel of the Gentiles. Look in Romans. In Romans, and notice in chapter 2. Take Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16 and Romans 2. Romans 1, 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 says, in the day that Jesus Christ shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The gospel committed to the Apostle Paul in here. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, was given the gospel of the Gentiles, the gospel of the uncircumcision, according to Galatians chapter 2. What is it? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. What was it? That there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm testifying to you right now, Jesus died for you, God raised him from the dead, and God will save you right now if you'll receive Christ. Will you do it right now? Believing in him as your Savior. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.